b'ksuba ha'omeres al das Moshe v'Yehudis. Be'ezri das Moshe ma'achiloso she'ne ma'usar ma'shamshoso nida v'lokoto l'chava v'noderes v'ne m'kayem. Be'ezri das Yehudis. Yolta v'rosha perua v'tova v'shuk v'daveres v'kolodam. Etc. You find that there are two categories of women who forfeit their ksuba. One is the woman who violates Das Moshe, and one is the woman who violates Das Yehudis. Rashi, Das Yehudis, Shenoagu b'noz Yisrael v'af al gala v'noder senem v'kayem. Be'ezu Das Yehudis, Yolta v'rosha perua v'tova v'shuk v'daveres v'kolodam. Etc. You find that there are two categories of women who forfeit their ksuba. One is the woman who violates Das Moshe, and one is the woman who violates Das Yehudis. Rashi, Das Yehudis, Shenoagu b'noz Yisrael v'af al gav v'lo ksiva. Critical Rashi. Rashi defines Das Yehudis something which the Jewish women customarily observe, even though it's not written anywhere in the Chumash. Fine. Says the Gemara, on the bottom, left two lines, Vezu Vidas Yehudis, Yotza Verosha Perua. Breaks the Gemara, and here's this, the most important line in the entire sugi is this. Rosha Perua, Doraisahi, Dechsibu Farah Es Rosha Isha. The Tanat Rabbi Shmuel, as Hara Levnos Yisroel Shlo Yetziv Perua Rosh. Period. This is the kasha. How can you tell me that a woman who goes Perua Rosh, which means her hair uncovered, is in violation of Das Yehudis, which Rashi defines as a minig benos Yisroel, which is not found anywhere in Chumash? What are you talking about? If she goes with her hair uncovered, she's in violation of a Doraisa, as it says in Chumash. Upara as Rosh Isha, Parsha Sota, the Tanad Rabbi Shmuel, appears as Haral of Gnosis Rosh, Lo Yetzim to a Rosh. Finish. It's an Isim in a Torah for a woman who's married to go with her hair uncovered. Come on, Furisha Gemara. How did Gemara see it in the Pasuk? So Rashi has 2 days. Last Rashi on the Dach. Well, last 2 Rashi are important. So Raisahi, Vamailo Kori Lo Das Moshe. Why are you calling it Das Yehudis? Call it Das Moshe. What examples of Das Moshe are found in the Mishnah? Let's remember what they are. What are they? She feeds and trays for food. She lives with them without going to the mikveh, etc. She doesn't take his challah properly. So she can't feed and tray. She's no deres and mekayemis, which we learned last week can cause the death of their children. In other words, she's done something. She's done something which goes against the fundamentals of the marital relationship. She's undermining the whole marriage. Because if she's going to feed her trace of food, she's going to not go to the mikveh, if she's going to cause their children to die, you know, these are fundamentals of marriage, you know? Right? One of the fundamentals of marriage is that the husband has to eat, right? He wants to live with his wife, the heter, and he wants to have children where she lives. All those 3 things are part of marriage. If you miss one of those 3 things, you really part of the same marriage. So she's undermined it. And as a result, we say that it's your charity. As a result, we say that she's forfeited her tzuba. So too, the Gemara seems to imply with the Rashi. If she goes to the street with her hair uncovered, she's in violation of Das Moshe. Why is that a chiddush? Both said, why is that Rashi a tremendous kiddush? By the way, who else is like Rashi? Who else is like Rashi? You saw it. The Rambam, correct. The Rambam says that if a woman goes with her hair uncovered in the street, this is what a violation of what we call Das Moshe. As a result, she goes to Pulot Tzuba. The Rambam, for those who want to look it up, is in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Tav Dalid, Eilu hein advarim shim osas acham mehen arva al das Moshe halach yiral yotza b'shut b'sarosha golui. Check. She goes with her hair revealed in the street, in the marketplace, the violation of Das Moshe. This is the opinion of Rashi and the Rambam. Why did a chiddush come? And of course, it's a chiddush, you know what the next step is. Oh, David knows me well enough. He knows every hint already. If it's a chiddush that I'm trying to drive, and someone can argue with it, right? So my argument is not that motion. Who, David? Now the next step. Now you see, sort of my argument comes. Who? Me? Who's there? The Ezehu? Hashem lo libo lasos came. The fight with Rashi and the Rambam. Who? Who? Yeah. Who? Could be the Rush. Who usually follows the Rush? Attention to Shulchan Aruch. In those books, you don't find that this idea of a woman who goes out with the hair on top of the evaluation without motion. But let me ask you, why should it? Use your own head. Why, in your opinion, should it be considered that motion? And why should it not be considered that motion? Yes? Oh, so one last thing, that's a menachem. That's not the fairest of the Torah. It's master. We'll come to that later. We mentioned it a long time ago. We'll get to that later. But assume it's in the Torah. Assume it's an absolute Torah prohibition. Assume it is. Still, I want you, you're going to guess what I'm saying. You give me a reason why, even if it's a Torah prohibition, it should not be considered a violation of Das Moshe. You guess it can't speak first. No? Uri, yeah?
And he said Das Moshe is only stuff that undermines the family.
That's it? It's only stuff, off the quote that Uri, it's stuff that undermines the family, that breaks up the marriage. If she feeds and trades, it can't go on. She lives in him as a nida, can't go on. The kids keep dying because of him in the dog, can't go on. She goes with the hair uncovered, why can't they go on? Let me ask you a question. What will happen if she eats straight outside the home? Unfortunately, there are many such individuals. They keep kosher home, but then they go to the restaurant, you know, they told somebody that's a town in Jersey not far from here, but the rabbi had to speak about against people going to the diners. Believe it or not, it was brilliant, Shomer Shabbos. And they go and eat in the diner, they wouldn't eat. They wouldn't order trade stuff, they wouldn't order shrimp. But they would order other foods and say, come on, what could be bad about French fries? What could be bad about, whatever. So when the rabbi got up and said, you are eating, as far as we know, we can't go guarantees it, but you're eating potentially non-kosher food. So the woman say, true, rabbi, you're right. But in the house, I keep a perfectly kosher home. What'd you say? Is she a violation of Das Moshe? Is that grounds of divorce or not?
Or not?
No. All the Rishonim say unanimously no. Why? Because she is not in any way violating the marriage. The house is kept perfectly kosher. Mahadrin min hamahadrin. Kol of Yisrael. Lat kosher. That's a good question. That's a very good question. How could we say that if a woman is straight outside the house? That she's not a violation of Das Moshe. But and because in the house she keeps a kosher home. Yeah, but how can he rely on her? And if you can't rely on her, so in effect the bottom line is the same, even though it's perfectly kosher objectively, but he can't eat it. I never thought of that question. I have to look and see what the Postman say. It's a good question. But the Postman do all say, I believe almost unanimously, if she eats trafe outside the house, or that's some other violation, I don't know, she even she's Mechal Shabbat outside the house. Again, it's a problem of their mothers. So different Aver. Let's pick a good Aver. What do we do? We're trying to pick up a good Aver. All the big ones are taken away. It can't be a riot. It can't be trade. It can't be Shabbat. There's more to your kasha. I vote as well. No, I thought it was a color Aver. I don't know. I'm trying to look at them. What's a good Aver? Pick me a good Aver.
Zela.
Shatara is not that. Zela. Okay, she's a shoplifter. He's a shoplifter. So, you know. All right, but you are getting back down. Shoplifting?
No. Saying, what was your hair on top?
We'll come to that. That's a very good question. Maybe we should say that keeping the hair on top is difficult to lose, so leave this nuts. What do you say, though? We mentioned before, but the kids are going to drop. I've owned a dorm, born in Mesa. No guarantees, though. Yeah. I've owned a dorm, born in Mesa. We already saw it, I believe, last week, did we not? But we saw the Rosh who compares Cherem to Neder. Didn't we see that rush last week? It was the week before, even, I think. But the case of the person who was in violation of Torah, the rush of his daf, I'm quite sure we saw it. But here's the Gemara, on the next to the last medium-sized line in Ayin Beis and Aleph, the Gemara says, Omar Mar, Tavo and the Doron Bonin Mesa Shanem, I'll think that's Pete Salachi and Sarecha. They make it on the Pesuk in Kohelet. Okay? So, the Pesuk. That doesn't mean they all always die. There's many people who, some children die, who don't take the Doron, and people take the Doron and don't die. But it's considered a strike against you in terms of the longevity of your children. And that's why they have the right to divorce. Anyway, so again, now we can understand why one might consider that even if the Torah prohibition for a woman to go married with a hair uncovered in the street may not be a violation of Das Moshe. Because after all, it's nothing to do with the marriage. It's not like she's feeding him crazy food. She's living with the Eastern Nida. She's killing the kids with the Dara. No, she has a violation. She's shoplifting. She's stealing. I don't know what else she's doing. She's, what's a good lobster we have out there? Yeah.
That was
the first
question.
I'm sorry. Das Moshe is specific. The three examples found. She betrayed. She doesn't go to the mikveh. Or she's no there. So the only three examples she found. And Rashi made a fourth example. She's a big kiddush. But if a woman goes without her hair covered, that's considered a violation of Das Moshe in the street. Whereas, and I said the Rambam agrees, but the Torah seems to disagree, as is most likely the Shulchan Aruch. Why do they disagree? So it was said before correctly, but like she's shoplifting.
So Rashi can answer back, no.
Well, we'll only answer back. So Menachem can't want to answer back, it's the Leech's Nus. The Leech's Nus, the problem Menachem is, that's most likely it's going to be called Das Yehudis. And so the Rush interpreters will see soon, the Rush calls Das Yehudis, but that's Moshe. We don't find a precedent for that. Yes, Ben, what do you want to say?
Where do we get the distinction that Das Moshe is something that brings up the family? Rashi,
the very essence of that, of the word Das Moshe.
From Rashi alone, essentially, anything deraisa that's involved
with. So I asked you a question, I asked you before. What if she eats tray?
Anything deraisa that's involved with the marriage.
That's what you said, involved with the marriage.
What is it involved with the marriage?
Her eating tray from the side is not involved with the marriage.
What? Her eating side on the
but her uncovering her hair, say
it's
my...
involved with the marriage.
Why,
in
why?
Some sense.
Why?
It's a Christian marriage, she can't uncover
her hair. Gotcha. I think he's right. That's got Rashi and the Rambam. But the reason why uncovering the hair is called Das Moshe is because although it doesn't necessarily break up the marriage, but it's a violation which relates to the marriage. In the sense that the violation is engendered by the fact that she's married. And she, a woman, we'll see later, I believe it's something of a very hot dispute. A woman who is single does not have to cover her hair. Now, if you would hold that a woman who still has to cover her hair, then your pshat wouldn't work. Right. Okay. So we're assuming now for the moment that a woman who's single need not cover her hair. Because she's married. Because she's married, we don't know any reason why yet. Be patient. I'm sorry. Well, that's a good question. What about a woman who's divorced? A woman who's widowed? Does she have to cover her hair? Doesn't say anything in the parish. Not yet. Not up there. Well, she's no longer in the school, now she's single. What? That's why she talks about it, right? Not in the Mishnah. Let's go slowly. Let's climb up, trying to build it from the bottom up. Okay. Now we come to the main Rashi. And the drama begins to unfold right over here. The last Rashi in Ayin Beis and Aleph. Azhara. So it's not clear what the source of the derivation is. It says Rashi, and the fact that we do this to the woman, the sota, to make her a minuvelas, how would you translate the navla? Make her ugly? Disgusting. Mida kineged mida. A measure for a measure. Kimosha otasol lehisnos albala. As she did, removing her hair covering to be pretty for her adulterous friend. Miflal dios. For the fact that we uncover her hair in public, Beis HaMikdash, to pay her back for the fact that she uncovered her hair in the presence of her boy, Michlal Diyosik. Instead of taking off her head covering in the presence of the Boel is prohibited. Now, of course, once they had beers, it was a much worse prohibition. That's a prohibition which is kind of misa for. But, you know, as the Vilna Gaon, I think I mentioned to you last week, the Gaon said that it meant a totally non-observant individual. And he told him, not only going to be punished for Shabbos, basic, if you don't want to miss a dying, you're punished for that too. Not only is the woman punished for the ultimate act of adultery, but she's punished because half an hour before she committed adultery, she took off her shekel. So for that, she also going to get punished. And if she would stop there, she would take off her shekel, and then let's say the husband would come back, doorbell rings, you imagine if they're about to do adultery, the shekel is off, maybe more is off, I don't know what's going on exactly, and then the doorbell rings. Honey? Oh. He skedaddled out the back door, the left and the seven, the doctor and the second, the door, which we spoke about. So has she done only a machshava roah, or has she already been in violation the minute she took her head covering off? So the Rashi got the impression, the minute she took off the head covering, she's already been in violation. And therefore, since she committed that violation, we are going to somehow make her feel as a manuvelet, put her into disgusting kind of a state by removing her head covering in public in the Beit HaMikdash. That's the first kind of Rashi. Yes? If any question you want, I don't have to answer.
we saw by noticed by Subhadaris Dharabana, the Ramban has said that when it says Kimara Sula, it doesn't mean that Sula is torn in Daraisa. Rather, that was the minhag at the time.
The Mishkan Lamela says that. The Ramban said the same. Ooh! He flunked. Come a little closer. I'm trying to preserve my voice.
Ramban said
the case of the zonos. Very important, Ramban. The Ramban said that when it says in the Torah that a man is required to support his wife, as you see, it says in Pesach, do yotza'ah, ishto imo, Pesach and Pashim ishpotim, doesn't mean it's an absolute obligation to support his wife, it means it's a minig which existed then.
Why wouldn't the same type of argument apply here?
Oh, the David has a wild and woolly and wacky suggestion. He says, wait a minute, maybe China the Gemara does not mean that the prohibition for a woman who's married to uncover her hair. Maybe all the Torah is doing is recording a custom which exists in the Matan Torah that women who are married cover their hair.
The Gemara is not saying that for sure.
Why is the Gemara saying that?
The question is the right thing.
So,
what
does it mean?
The Gemara is obviously saying the right thing.
What does it mean? Oh, wait. That's enough to see how obvious that is. Not so simple. Maybe the word Doraisa means exactly what you said. Suba Doraisa means that. The Zonos Doraisa means that. Maybe. So maybe it also means that, maybe.
But if it's not Das Moshe, so what do the Rosh Hashanah hold that Gemara means?
No, Uri. It doesn't have to be Das Moshe. It could be neither Das Yehudis nor Das Moshe.
So then Doraisa means what?
Doraisa means Das Yehudis. Look at Rashi in the Mishnah. Das Yehudis should not go benos Yisrael. I forgot the low tziva. This is the kind of which is ksiva. May not be a less instead of violation of that Moshe as such. Certainly she would lose a tzuba and the kavachomer from had it been a das Yehuda not found in the pasuk, but it may not necessarily fit into the category of das Moshe. It's neither. It's neither a das Moshe nor a das Yehuda. So why should she lose a tzuba? Why should we call it das Yehuda squared? Das Yehuda means if it's a minig nashim which is not found in the Chumash. Kavachom, the meaning of which is found in the Chumash, is worse. But then the question would not be so much that it's called a Das Moshe. It's not that same Das Moshe. It doesn't seem to say it's Das Moshe. So what? If it's Das Yehudis, but Das Yehudis, which is worse than the regular Das Yehudis. And the implication of the expression Das Yehudis is just not found anywhere in Chumash. Yes, can see it? Strange thing, right? What's going on over here? We are making an Isha Sota who may be innocent, mind you. Well, she may be innocent, and apparently she can't be totally innocent. Impossible. But the only time that she is ministered the May Sota, and she's been guilty of what? At least what?
Yivka.
this vehicle, but she's not a tzedekah,
so
you
say. It means that she didn't necessarily uncover her hair.
Right. She's the yakel with the guy who was sitting and saying, kill him together. Undoubtedly. Well, do you think any difference? I mean, the husband told her, don't go in with this guy, Chaim, but you deal with him with Chaim. She goes in with, she despite the warning, she then goes in with Chaim in the room, closed, locked, all the shades are drawn, and we assume she's keeping her shekel still on, and she thanked him. That goes to be down the top source, don't we? Yeah. So then how can we then, the CNS, then how can we suddenly take off her shekel? She's an innocent woman, it's the Dakins. Oh, but that, okay, I was dramatizing it. But CNS, who cares that it's an innocent, that she's prohibited? She did an aveira. So we make her do an extra aveira. An extra aveira. She really didn't want to make her do an extra aveira. Well, presumably, I mean, the Torah, you have to do it. You have to do it. Do you want to know why the Torah tell you to do it? That's a good question. That's a good question. Okay. That's a good question. Of course, if the Eishchad is correct, that it's not an absolute Torah prohibition. Rather, it's just something which is a custom which the Torah records and which should be followed, then your question is basically obviated. Yeah, it should be followed, but here's an exception. But it's an actual issue like sitting trade. We don't find anywhere in the administration of any procedure invested in the Mikdash, we don't find a match with someone to do something which is to eat trade. That's true. Hashem Hashem in the same context. We erase Hashem's name which is ordinarily prohibited in our Torah.
No, but that's doing something that's ordinarily after. It's not the same thing as making someone else do something that's
Okay. Even according to the Torah, the Torah says that not only on the last motion, you could still say that you had from your Torah. Oh, for sure, the Torah would say certainly at least as strict as Asiyudis. The Torah is not found anywhere in Chumash. It's Asiyudis, which is squared, it's found in Chumash. It's more serious. But I'm just saying the word Das Moshe may not be appropriate. That's the first Tana Rashi. Second Tana Rashi. Inami. Midchsilu para nichlal dahu shaita lav kruo habas. You can't kill a dead dog. You can't uncover an uncovered item. So from the fact that the Torah says upara, he will uncover her hair, her head, it's implied that before that her head was covered. Shmamina, ein derech benos yisroel lateis kruos rosh v'chein ikra. Well, this is a totally different story. Not a question of some other violation. She violated a halacha by uncovering her hair, her head, in the presence of the boy. No, it simply records the fact that if you can't uncover something which was previously uncovered, it must be that the derech of Benos Yisrael, whatever that means, in the way of Jewish women, was not to go with their hair uncovered. The chenika, why should I the second shot better? This sounds a little bit like David's shot, no? A little bit. David's shot was, there's no Isser at all, it's just a minute. Derek Benos Yisrael, the time of the Matan Torah. Sounds from Rashi almost like it's almost that way, almost. Yes. Oh, very good. Next question. The Nachas Machavit of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says, the simple shot, this Gemara, Benos Yisrael, single to it. Benos Yisrael, on the contrary, the word Benos, Ben Eshar, Bat Yisrael, only if you're married. Now we're talking about the sign. Sin. Even the general usage of the word Bat Yisrael, you know, you're the school, you're Bat Yisrael, but Benos Yisrael has a very, okay, the bad tongue. A very general application, which we say should include every Jewish woman. Every Jewish woman. So therefore, why do we restrict it to married women? It doesn't say restrict to married women, by the way. Where does it say that? Where does it say that it's restricted to married women? Does it say it over here in the Mishnah? No. In the Gemara? No. No.
He says it for halacha. The Gra
says it. Well, I don't know halacha, but the Gra seems to say. Well, I'll give it away. It's not fair to keep it in suspense. The Gemara is commenting on the Zinin Shulchan Aruch, which is on the Mar Makom, the Siman Chaf Aleph and Beis, which is taken from the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchot, okay, it doesn't matter where it is, but you see in Shulchan Aruch, where the Rambam says, and Shulchan Aruch quotes it, Lo Pelachna Benos Yisrael, Kruas Rosh Pashuk, Achas Penuya, Vi Achas Eshesh Ish. Rambam says there's no difference between a married woman and a single woman. Says the Goyim, Chaf Aleph and Beis. Says the Goyim, yeah, because it says Benos Yisrael, Menachem's point. Menachem's mechaber to the Gaon of Vilna. Your sister cover her hair. What's the matter with you? Go home and tell her. You have to cover her. You can see her at the parade. You bring with you a little handkerchief and say, here. I mean, I don't understand. I used to the mechaber to the girl and says that single woman has to cover their hair. What's it going to come? We're not finished yet. That's the Mogen Avraham's job. The Mogen Avraham was bothered by a terrible contradiction. On the one hand, we're going ahead of ourselves, but I can't help it. That's the way. If you need to ask questions, you have to go with the flow. So okay. The Mogen Avraham has a question. Here it says that the Shulchanov Simon Chafal surveys in Evan Ezra. Achas Tanuya Bachas Eshesi should not go, Puros Rosh should not go with the hair uncovered. Whereas it says in Orachayim, my other Simon, I have to look at with all the Mephoshim, Simon Ayan Hay says based on Orachayim, there it says that the man may not recite the Shema when he's looking at the uncovered hair of a woman, but there the Shulchan Aruch says that single women who ordinarily go with the hair uncovered, there's no prohibition. There's a contradiction between Evan Ezra's Chaf Aleph, which says that Achas Tanuya, even a single girl may not go with the hair uncovered, and Orachayim Ayin Hay, which says that a single girl may go with the hair uncovered. How do you resolve this clear contradiction? Huh? Bay Dinim, but you didn't, before the Lumbus, the fact, is it Mutter or is it Asa? Oh. David talked with us. Norma's Bachavin. Unbelievable. Norma's Bachavin to a number of Gedolim, Barosham, and the Farsham, and the Yerushalmi, and Awasugya, for the Shiure Karba. Go to the Karban Ha'eda, the famous Karban on the start of the Yerushalmi, but he couldn't get into the main text. He called Shiraya. Now it's put at the bottom or in the back in most of our editions, it's Shiure Karban, where he says exactly what Noam says. Like this, if you're in the street, there's no difference between a woman who is single and a woman who's married. Take that handkerchief with you, Menachem. Because there's no difference, Meshuk, the Fifth Avenue, there's no difference whether the woman is single or married. However, if you're in the privacy of your home, then it depends. If you're married, then the hair should be covered. We'll get to the details later. And if someone says Krishna, opposite that hair, it's a violation. However, if you're single, and you're, one second, if you're single and you're home, then you need not cover the hair. And if your father says Krishna, or your brother says Krishna, and the sister or the daughter is right there with the hair uncovered, it would not pose a problem in terms of Michas Krishma, nor to pose a problem for her in that uncovered hair state in her home. That's what the Shiure Karban says, the back of the Yerushalmi, an hour Mishnah. Give a look, you'll see. Norm your Mechamah to an Adam Godel. Do you have any sisters? You do. You began. Yeah? Okay. So you better bring a handkerchief too. Yes? What's your question?
No.
So that's what he's saying in effect. Middle rights, as far as we call the Das Moshe, which is only Bashuk, we'll see soon. That there's no difference in single and married. The Torah makes no distinction. Benos Yisrael, Menachem's right. Benos Yisrael, Bas Yisrael, same thing. Only in the privacy of the home is there a distinction, and that's what's reflected in the Orach Chaim. Don't forget, people don't say Krishna on Fifth Avenue. It's in the synagogue, lady, but not on Fifth Avenue. So that's set in the privacy of your home. That's where the distinction of single versus married is found in the fact of Shulchan Aruch and Orach Chaim, Siman Ayin Hei. That's a Shiur Karov and Dancer.
Wow.
What? I didn't get to the Magna Ron yet. It's a sidetrack.
No, no, but...
One second, we'll get to the Magna Ron. Shiur Karov?
Yeah.
And what do you want from the Shiur Karov? The Rambam says so. The Shulchan Aruch says so. That women should not go bashuk with her hair uncovered. And if you think, Rabbi Otai, yes, I have too many hands are up for me to continue my sentence. Yes, though. That in Orach Avinu, in Orach Ayin, Siman Ayin Hei, Siman Ayin Hei, Siv Beis, was the bottom too. Okay, have a whole day for tomorrow, Shir. Fea shel isha shedarka lechasoso osur likros kinegdo. Avo besulo shedarka lelech kuros rosh, mutter. You see the parish of Pesulos go through his rope. And the Machabe says in Avin Ezer, Lo telach the benos Yisrael, through his rosh bashuk, achas kliya achas eshet fish. The resolution is simple. That's bashuk and it's in the house. It's all about it. Fish was in the house. Here it's a problem. You see, fish was set inside. Could be. Some say that. That's right. Another theory. Some suggest the woman can't go with her hair uncovered anywhere. Not in the house, not in the street, nowhere. But if the man is saying the Krishna opposite the woman's seyar, then there's a distinction between the street and the house. That's very difficult logically.
Because
That's part of the problem. But no. But the bigger problem with what you're saying, though, is that what's the difference between the house and the street? See, according to what Noam said, he's like this. Even as far as the woman is concerned, we draw distinctions in the house and the street, which we'll be able to defend later on. According to what Dove said, as far as she's concerned, there's no difference to single, married, house, street, it's all the same. It's only as far as the onlooking man is concerned. Now why here? There's a difference between an onlooking man watching a single girl violate the halacha in the street or violate the halacha in the house.
No, I
misunderstood this. You say, no, it's like this. There's no difference at all between the house and the street whatsoever. The flower. But if it's a single girl, then although she's in violation, house and street, but he's not so distracted when he sees her hair because she's single, and therefore he may recite the Shema. If she's married, then he'll be more distracted. What do you say, Noam? Noam would suggest by a smile that one might suggest the opposite. If she's married, he's married. Come on. To get her, you have to go through a lot of difficult things. She's single, but then, you know, she's single.
What do we mean by,
No, you can say they're both going to be a problem. Well, I'm going to say that neither is a problem. But we'll come to all this later. We're going to have some radical statements in this studio.
What do you mean by...
These tapes have to be watched very carefully. They're not to go out, these tapes, okay?
What do you mean by in your own house?
We'll come to all this later. Patience is a virtue. We have to discuss all these matters slowly. Yes? Judah had an amazing shot. They're all doing the Isser, the single girls. I mentioned the fact what Dove was saying, in fact. They're doing the Isser, but Afal Pi Kein does not impact upon Krishna. And if the marriage will go the Isser, and I'll be down on the car. To violate the Isser. Married girls not to violate the Isser. No one says the difference. You're saying that it's also for married women, also for single women. Married women, in fact, kept the halacha. Single women didn't. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch tells you that single women don't keep the halacha, although they're in violation, does not impact upon Krishna. very good, that's a very, very good shot. That's right. David says it's reminiscent of which shot of the famous, world-renowned, famous, internationally acclaimed and criticized Aruch HaShulchan. So the Aruch HaShulchan says in the Siman Ayin Hey that in Lithuania, where the women who were married also didn't cover their hair, Rabban was saying to Harabim, due to our many sins, that halacha would be, although she's in violation for not keeping her hair covered, if you said the Shema and she has her hair uncovered, you're not in violation. So according to what Judah said, all the Aruch HaShulchan did was he quoted the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is saying the same thing, that a single girl is also not permitted to go with the hair uncovered. Yet, Daka Bakach, Krishma's alright. So if the violation extends to married women, so that the Krishna, by definition, it'll be alright as far as Krishma is concerned. That's a very remarkable interpretation there. We'll get to that later also. We're not going to have a reason, we're just trying to get, we're gathering a database so far. We'll try to come to a little bit later. There's a difference, somewhat different than what the Rosh Hashanah is saying. Okay, we never got to the Magen Avraham. So how many answers do you have so far to answer the steer? What's the steer? The Mechaber said, Achas Pnuya. It's awesome to go with the Shuk Kuros Rosh. And our Rechaim, he said, what did he say? We read this now. What did he say? Abu Besula Shadak and Leila Kuros Rosh is Mutter to say Shema. So how many answers do we have? One is Norman, the Shirei Karvan say that it's Mutter for her to go Kuros Rosh only in the house. But in the Shuk, it's prohibited. As you see in Ebenezer, beautiful text. Judah says, no, it's also for her all over the place. But since the Psulos had a custom to go to Kavala the Yisr, so therefore there's no problem as far as Krishna is concerned. And Ena Tanan, we suggested that David said if there are children, it would be just an extension of that. If all the mad women go like Abiy Yisr, so it wouldn't apply either the prohibition of Krishna. That's what Judah's strategy is. They resolved the conflict with Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham, who comes before Noam and before Judah, has a third shot. A very original shot, which is again, it's amazing how the difference is in terms of the reaction of the Achronim. Some say it's Yosef Hu Shalom Timo. This is 100% correct. And most say it's off the wall. It's simply absolutely incorrect. What he says is as follows, that the word Kuruah means two different things. One, it means uncovered. And two, it means wild. Right? How does it say in Pesach and Parshas Kisisa? Vayah Moshe Sa'am Ki Faruahu. Well, we'll get to that. Faruahu means the hour the people went wild. Even in today's modern Hebrew, it's used sometimes in that context. Tit Paru. They went wild. That's a different show. That's an hour. You just read it? Rosholo Yifro. No, that's a different story. We don't know what that means either. Oh, so the Magen Avraham says, aside from being uncovered, is a second meaning. Perel is wild. Peru is wild. What does wild mean to the Magen Avraham? How do you define wild? One person's wild, next person's gorgeous, next person's tame. So the Magen Avraham said that the single girls are required to fulfill one level of the Isa Perua, which means not to let the hair fall loose. But rather, the hair should be, as someone just said before, in a braid, in a bun, something should be held in tight. Shouldn't just be left to flow out loose. Shouldn't dangle. Is that the right word? Okay. Shouldn't dangle. I guess I'm not sure if the mother of rubber requires doctor. It should be in a braid. Maybe, I know there are other people who, although they reject the Magen Avraham, I don't know anybody who follows the Magen Avraham. I never saw any place where they, oh, yeah, sure, right, that's right. All of them have braids, right, all braids. They follow the Magen Avraham before too. But, huh? Yeah. Magen Avraham, sure. What? What'd you say? I'm wondering if that opinion is satisfied, by keeping the hair just short. You know, nothing dangles, it's just, stops over here.
There's nothing to put up.
What? They don't bother, they're great. No, I'm saying, they have it long and braided. I'm wondering if there's an alternative to that, which is plain, but short. But I think there are some places they have a custom, they don't braid their hair. They want to keep it, you know, natural. But they don't grow it long as single girls. They view that as another, perhaps they take them on a rabbi's plan, and instead of braiding it as being long, they keep it somewhat short. You know? It doesn't dangle. It doesn't dangle at all. Just, you know, the hair comes around and just cut. We call it a short haircut. Is that the muck of why they shave up in their marriage? No. Because there's an alternative to that, which is to cover it. Which they anyway cover their head. Once they shave it up, you better believe they cover their head. But why they shave their head? There are three reasons. Three reasons. But in the Ultra Poskim here, on that Simchat Chalav. One is, that's right, to make sure they cover the hair. Or they don't say it that way, if you are joking about it. But they say it in a different way. She has regular hair. We're afraid that some of them may by accident, become revealed. Even if she's wearing a hat, it'll somehow have shape. Well, something will stick out. And since it's, they don't go for the tefach story at all. We'll get to that later. The van mafu, even on one, that's one reason. Yeah. Second reason, which is what Nisano said, they're afraid of chatzitza when they go to the mikvah.
They shave everything?
Yeah.
Everything. They have no hair. I mean, their whole body is free of hair?
No, I didn't say that.
So what's the chatzitza there versus anything else?
Wait, don't know. I don't know what else they do. I can't, no one's ever told me and showed me. I have no idea. But the point of it is that if their hair is true, hair is a very serious problem for pizza because the hair gets knotted and it could cause a pizza problem. Something gets stuck on the hair. That's reason number two. Reason number three is David's reason. A much worse problem for pizza. We're afraid chas v'shalom, chalila v'chalila v'chalila, one hair will float above the waterline in the mikvah. That's all you need. One hair, and it's a three-letter result. Chorus. Sure? Chorus. A person. A mikvah lady always watches, but you know, one hair is not always easy to see. You know, she has 1,000 hairs on her head, 999 go under the water, and one hair sticks up. And the big lady looks. So, if you want to avoid curries, shave it off. What? Shema tisganel bala. Well, that depends on the bala. Imagine if no, I would say differently in the summer. If the Baal is somebody from the community whose brother, his mother went that way, and his brother went that way, and his sister went that way, so he fully expects his wife to go that way. If his wife would grow hair, we just got on about. Well, you know, when you get married, you're supposed to cut off your accent. Why do we think a person with a nose, this yay long, is ugly? And the woman came from a Hungarian background where the woman would shave the hair. And that was a major Shalom Bayis problem. She wanted to shave her hair, and her husband said, no way. That's a good question. It never came up before the marriage somehow. So, Rambayshi in his discussion says, I mean, it happened the other way also, right? He wanted to shave it off. She says, no way. I can see that's a bigger part. An upshare. An upshare. In the honor of the Alma. An upshare. Wow. I guess you're going to be wrong. I guess I should
Right now, I'm going to my collar. I really
you
have to shave off your head.
You can throw me
at the wedding hall?
An upshare. Not very bad. In the honor of the honor. An upshare. Wow. I guess you're going to be wrong. I guess
I should do it right. Right now, I'm going to my collar. I really get to shave off your head.
You can throw me that.
She calls tonight.
And I hear a woman fainting on the other side of the phone. I don't know who it is. So that's those are the three reasons why the custom came up in certain parts of Europe, and they say it's such tremendous strength if you don't do it during Kerem, and it's a minik hanoshim, these cosmic enough from generation to generation. So you thereby, they're right, that's the custom, you gotta keep the custom. But of course, that's another question. That's Rav Moshe has a chill about. I don't have Rav Moshe in front of me. I don't have an interest one to Aleph here, what's on the desk last week? No. Yeah, here it's right here. Thank you. This is the case. An Ebenezer Aleph. Oh, no. Oh, maybe it's not. Oh, here it is. Simon and Tess. It's not in the Bible promise. I thought it was a little bit rough. A woman here. The woman had a custom to shave off her hair. And the husband, that's how I got it right. And the husband said no. And the husband is mocked, but she shouldn't shave over here. Mahadin. What's the din? Said Rav Moshe, the bottom line, it's prohibited for her to shave over here. Because she goes to her husband, she's considered going into his house, right? That's what it means. And therefore, she has to follow his custom. The end. Super written Kaf Shin Yud Zayin. 57, a lot of years ago, from Eichenstein, who was the chief rabbi of St. Louis. Not on the Marvel Cup. Nuntes? Telegal Simon Nuntes. I asked the Simon Zion and Nuntes. I stopped short of this. I felt that it was a little bit too much for us to go into. Simon Nuntes. Okay. Good. That's the Mogadab Rome is the way to resolve the problem.
No, and then married women.
Now I have to even cover the hair, correct. So of course they ask against the mother of them, the hair is crazy. Where'd you get it from? The word for rule means two different things. I want you to know that I once saw years ago, you have one thing?
When the money comes to the
two reasons, not reasons, right. Two definitions.
So marriage is a
sexual. Right, that's an easy question. Yes, exactly like that. That's it. So I once saw, I started answering the response story, many years ago, I was trying to dig it up somewhere in the library. I believe it was somebody wrote in German, if I'm not mistaken. He was one of the rabbis Kalabach, if I'm not mistaken, it goes back many years, a relative of the Mashkiach from Kaimbalin and of the singer for the West Side. So he writes in German, I believe, I think it was translated a little bit to Hebrew, that there was one person who said, look, the Mabon Avraham is right, that that's what it means, Perua means shouldn't be wild. Well, that's the only definition. How do you know the second definition? He wanted a pasuk, there's no obligation for a married woman to cover her hair. All they have to do is to keep it braided or close, as the case may be. Rabbi X, I don't know who it is. I went over great. So this Rabbi Kalabach, if I'm not mistaken, it was him, maybe I'm wrong, had a lengthy explanation as to proving that it's incorrect. I'm not sure, I already probably forgot what he said. I only have, so how do you prove him wrong? I'm talking about now from sources of Chazal, not right Rishon. Rishon was clear that it's wrong. That was absolutely clear that it's wrong from Rishon. How can you tell from the Gemara itself, or other sources of Chazal, before Avinu Ravashi, that for a woman to go with her hair braided and uncovered when she's married is in fact prohibited. Who said that? That's right. That's explained. Upara means the hair was braided and they made it wild. Upara means they made it covered up and I brought by that. They made it wild. What did I make for the day? No. Excuse me. That's Das Yehudis. That's Das Yehudis, what we call the Noah Gubinosis Roll. I forgot the lobe seva. I'm talking about as far as seva. As far as what the Torah means. How do you know what the Torah means and he shall uncover. Maybe a permit he shall dishevel. Is that the best word to use?
Yes.
It will dishevel her braided hair, but it was never covered. How do you know the Melon of Ram is the first child, not the only child? Now, how do you know? From a source in Gemara and Mishnah, Yerushalmi, Medrash, Sefra, Sefrei, some early source. Knew anybody? Okay, Prohl Aaron is a right to the Melon of Ram, to the first child and the first child only. Well, I only had one source that I can pick up. No. As far as the Torah. And my source is the Sefrei. Sefrei, of course, you know, goes back to the earliest Medrash Halacha. And the Sefrei are not Pesach, so it's very interesting. We also have Pesach poster, not a Bucky in all the Sefrei, but I looked it up in my Malbim, and it says it there. It says, Upara Tosha Isha, Apa Pisha in Rael is over, the Mikan Benos Israel, say, I don't have it in front of me, the Pasas Israel, the Mikan Benos Israel, the Apa Pisha in Rael is over, Zechel is over. So there's no absolute proof that they have to cover the snow with the hair covered. There's a Zechel is over. What's the Zechel is over? They call the Pasas in Zechel Shmuel. No? What's the Sefer Shmuel which relates to this? I believe it's Beis. I believe. No Tanakh on the screen, so I really can't do it. David's song, yeah.
Absalom?
That's a great story, but nothing to do with this. Absalom is not the only promise David had to have with his children. Tin.
Oh, Tamar.
And what's the other guy's name?
Amnon.
We know what happened over there. It was very not nice. But what does it say? What does it say in the pasuk after this terrible incident? How did Tamar? What did Tamar do?
She put Priya and uncovered. It was Paraz or something like that.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, this is the pasuk. I don't know if I think small there. But after this, after she became a Ba'ula, so she covered her hair. She put, I think, April was, she put some kind of covering on top of her hair. That's a Zechel of Dabba, this Tifrei says, to the idea of the Gnosis Royal going with the hair covered, as opposed to Perua. So it's quite clear from that context, but the Chata, I believe it says there, that the definition of Perua is uncovered as opposed to the Shepherd. So the Tifrei, by linking these two together, seems to be saying clearly that the definition of Perua is uncovered, which is the classical definition, as opposed to the Melon of Ram definition. So that's the only source that I saw, among earliest sources, which proved conclusively that a woman who's married is required to cover her hair, not just to braid her hair.
According to that, then, if that's the definition of a source, does that mean that not only married women can also do
that? That's the next question. If that's the case, then even a woman who is single, but Ba'ula, should be required to cover her hair. And that stuff is very, very interesting. In the 1 minute, that could be, by the way, why it's only a Zechel Adon, some say. Because she wasn't fully married, she was a Ba'ula. Others say that it's true, in a tsunami. Then a Ba'ula, in fact, must cover her hair, even though she's single. As a matter of fact, I have two sources that I asked you to agree with Manga to get for me, and they both speak about this question. The Piskei Tshuva has to look at this kind of question. So the Mamma comes, Simon Chalfalos is bade, I told you, look at there, please look at the Piskei Tshuva. We'll talk about this question at some length. We'll get to that, I probably will, later on. Try both sides. For sure. If a Ba'ula who's single has to cover her hair, certainly an Almana, who is a Ba'ula and she was once married, must certainly cover her hair. For sure.
Sure.
It's not in a plumage, it's only a story, it's not a halacha. Right, that's right, it's just a story. Try both sides. We mentioned before, please. There were two deists in Rashi, as far as how do we know that a woman who's married must cover her hair. The first is that she violated an issue when she uncovered the hair in the presence of the boer. That's what we have to be manavel by doing the same thing in the Beit HaMikdash. And the second is Upora, implying that before that it was not Karua. But Moshe, if one of the Baruch and Siman Nun Zayin, has a very important distinction between the first day of Rashi and the second day. He claims that the second shot is that apparently before the Kohen came in, her hair had been covered. You can't uncover an uncovered head. So apparently it was covered. It indicates that the way of Jewish women is to keep their hair covered. So Rav Moshe says he thinks there's a big distinction between the first shot and the second. Namely, what's the nature of the din of a woman who's married having to cover her hair? According to the first interpretation, if she does not cover her hair, it's a violation. Rashi says the same. It's an osur, it's an isur. According to the second definition, though, Rav Moshe says, it's not an isur to cover the hair, it's not an isur to uncover the hair, rather it is a mitzvah to cover the hair. You'll say, what's the difference? Who cares if it's an isur to uncover or a mitzvah to cover? What's the difference? Big difference, very much. How much money must you spend in order to fulfill this idea of covering the hair? If it's a mitzvah, the only not more than one-fifth of your money must be forfeit to fulfill the mitzvah. If, however, it's an Aveira, a person must give up all of his or her money rather than violate an Aveira. So here's an actual practical case that Moshe had. There was a woman who was told that if you cover your hair, you lose your job. You'll be fired. And she came to her Moshe. May I uncover my hair in order to secure a job? So her Moshe said, well, it depends. If you're the first Sadan Rashi, the answer is no. Because it's an Isser, and you can't violate it, even if it means losing a job. If the second Sadan Rashi, then the answer is yes. Because you're losing more than a fifth, losing your whole parnas. So her Moshe, you know, I'm really afraid to give an answer. 2 days from Rashi. And even though Rashi says the second day is equal, but you know, take a chance like this. But here's the punchline. The woman was a widow, was an almana. She wasn't a married woman. So Rav Moshe says, if she be married with an Indian of a Doraisa, I would be hesitant to pass the Makula, because maybe it's a question of a stake of Doraisa. However, since the whole stakes are lower, the only problem is a problem of on a level of a dirabona, because the almon is only dirabona. I therefore permit you, the widow, to uncover your hair to get a job to the sake of the rabbana the kula. Nothing. Well, the question was supposed to be, why couldn't she wear a shaper? I guess in those days, either they could tell the shaper, and therefore they would fire up a wearing a shaper. Well, they weren't any shaper. I don't know the details. It goes back 40 years, etc. It was hard to get a shaper, though. Not today. We'll get to that later. I'm not very happy with some of these fancy shapers. Well, explain to you why we get to go. Very unhappy. But we'll be patient. Patience. I saw Bavadja and the... where is it? I know where Bavadja is. I don't know where Abi is. And the Abi Omer in Chelek Dalet, Simin Gimel, Sitkot Dalet, he understood that Moshe, or Moshe in Simon and Zion, as you can see, says that Issa lo saseh. But the first day was the lo saseh, and the second day was an aseh. A chiyuv aseh. So Rabbi Vajji says, what kind of lo saseh? Where's the lo saseh? He doesn't see what was someone disciplined in 365 lo saseh. So look at Rabbi Vajji, he doesn't say it's a lo saseh. He said it's an Issa. Not every Issa is one of the 365. I don't know. Is it really an issue though? So Rashi sounds like he's saying it's really an issue. He's the word usher. But if you look carefully, I'm not even convinced, I have to tell you the truth, that the first thing Rashi holds is really usher. What do Rashi, let's read the Rashi again. V'navdina lahaki l'navla mida k'nega mida k'moro sh'asasa l'snos abola mithlal the usher. So the word usher seems to be without any doubt. However, if someone here in this room could produce me a Chumash and Rashi, you'll see that it's not so clear that this word Usser really means Usser. No, as a matter of fact, it's Bar Midbar. Isn't there a Chumash Rashi in the back? We should have a Chumash Rashi in this room. We have so many problems. We have a Chumash Rashi over here. No? No Chumash Rashi. Okay. If you look at the Chumash, and I'll tell you now what he says, well, we'll read it inside from the text when Dov brings it in. In the Chumash and Rashi, Rashi says over there, there's a quotation from the Rashi. I just wanted to read it from the original source. Rashi says as follows. Rashi says, Upara kidei levazoso. Right? Kidei levazoso. Rashi Chumash.
Yeah.
On the Pasuk Upara. Right? It's Tavid Buterake. Kidei levazoso, which is levazoso, the rough translation of what? No, of what word in Hebrew which Rashi uses over here? No. No. What word Rashi uses in the first line is similar to the word levazoso? Lenavla, right? Those two are very similar. Right? Very similar. So Rashi then... All right. Well, those are disgusting. It's graceful. All right. Those are graceful. It's thank you very much. No. Levazosa and Lenavla mean the same. They're both infinitive forms. Here's what Rashi says in Vanidvar, Perek, Hey, Pasuk Yud Ches. Para Soser as Kliasara. Kidei Levazosa. Not catch this now. Mikan Libnos Yisrael. Segilui Harosh. Now how should Rashi have finished? You want to finish anything as it's keep over here. Osulah. But instead Rashi has Segilui Harosh. Gnai Lohen. Gnai lohen, says Rashi and Chumash. What does Gnai mean? Meguna. Gnai. What does it mean? Disgusting, inappropriate, improper, terrible, but not actually usher. Now, I don't think Rashi says usher. I mean, how do you bridge this gap? This is the first shot of Rashi. Rashi and Chumash gives you the first shot in the Gemara. Give you the second shot. He says that. Right, he said that it's what? The Vazosa. He used the word Gnai. So this is as a general precedent, although it's not, of course, identical. I remember having a discussion about this issue. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yisurabiyah, in the context of the Easter of what we call today Nehiyah, by the way, you're giving me a good book, which I read, I think it's very good, I read it last week. Very good book. Very good book. Magic Touch. There, I was very impressed by it. It was an excellent work. For those who, you know, for those who need that kind of a book, it's certainly very appropriate. Tell you why it's smart. Keep the law from the gear. Not just that it's halakha. Smart. Keep the restrictions of the gear, not to violate the special dinner that you read about last Shabbos. Anyway, listen carefully. So in that context, the Rambam says that a person should be careful to avoid certain activities, not only with respect to, how should I put it, his girlfriend. I don't want to put the common, the modern phrase for it. But even with a woman,
partner,
even the woman who is, no, there's no yet to her towards that woman. I read you the Rambam in Parak Aleph Halacha Vav and Upas Yisurabiyah. Okay. By the way, the other Rambam is Parak Aleph Halacha Yud Zayin. For Yahalchu Bnos Yisrael for a rosh b'shuk achas tmiyah v'achas eshadish. That's my mind. I left out the main answer to the question. The main answer to the question of the Mogan Avraham. I didn't get an answer yet. Oh my God. Rabosai. Back up. Remember, I'm here just to back up. Back up. We have a sphere of it. The sphere is in the tomb of two macabres. So how do you answer without the sphere? So how many answers we have so far?
Three.
Sphere, Carbon, and Noah. Right. Then we had Judah, which is what? Al-Derech HaRachah Shulchan. Some are going to say as well. Then we had the Mogan Avraham. But there are at least two other answers. And the first Rambam, just reminded them right now, is given by the classical Mepharshim, and Ebenezer gives this answer. This is the Chelkos Mecholkek, the Beit Shmuel, the Dovah Merivava, I believe the Bach, the Frisha, all the classical Mepharshim say that when the Rambam said the word Penuya, he didn't mean a single girl who was never married, was a Besula. Oh no. He meant the Penuya, either who was once married, an Almana or Grusha, or perhaps even a Bu'ula was never married. That's what the word Penuya means in the Rambam. This is the classical terrace of the classical Mepharshim. The truth of the matter is that Pashup Chat and Rambam Shulchan Aruch, it boggles the mind. Rambam says Penuya, just in that Penuya means only a very small percentage of Penuyas, who are divorced, widowed, or live with a man. The simple meaning of the word Penuya is that of Penuya. That's what Penuya means, as opposed to Eshet Ish. No, Achas Penuya, the Achas Eshet Ish. That's the contrast in Rambam.
Assuming you're writing non-Metula, Penuya, or Eshet
Ish, Ish, Karim. Never said she was not the Metula definition. Right. Okay, right. Parshat Chaz up to me, she's not married, never was married. Parshat Chaz, against the classical Mepharshim. But then you're left with, but if you don't like, listen, Rabosa, let's be honest over here. If you don't like the terrace of the Golan Avraham, and you don't like the terrace of the Beis Shmuel, and you don't like the terrace of the Shirei Korban, and you don't like the terrace of the, what we call the Aruch HaShulchan and others, so what are you left with? I think it's the simplest answer. It doesn't help with Yosef Kara much, but it certainly helps the Rambam, and it helps the others, Rashi, and the Tosis. My always is, when you can't bridge the gap, just admit it. And say what? And say what? Tzimach Lov, what's the Rishonim? Some Rishonim say that a woman who is single is required to cover her hair, and others say it's not required to cover her hair. And I'll prove it to you. The Rambam says that a penuya has to cover her hair. You'll say, ah, it doesn't mean it. It means braided. It means after she is already been married at one time, etc. No. You look at the Sfei Kemet, not the camp. The Sfei Kemet has a thing called Antifa Tadinim. And he has the letter Dalin, very first page. And Narech HaTadal, it doesn't ask Moshe Yehudis. He records a custom in many Sephardic communities that women, when they were single, would cover their hair. Single women covered their hair.
Sephardic
communities.
Boy, how things
change. Well, single women covered their hair. And there's no doubt in my mind that it was the influence of the Rambam, which is felt 600 years after his time. But the Rambam had this custom. Undoubtedly, the Rambam recorded the custom which existed in his day. A single woman covered their hair, and that was their custom. The custom of the Sephardim. The Ashkenazim, by contrast, the Balei HaTosfos say this explicitly not that way. The single women do not cover their hair. And therefore, it seems to me that it simply was a machlokes Rishonim. Did single women cover their hair or not? Some said yes, and some said no. That's my answer. But of course, it's not the Mechaber. The Mechaber is stuck in a steer. The Mechaber didn't realize that there's a steer between, according to my only entrance for the Rambam and Tosfos, that there was a machlok. But so I'm not answering anything for the Mechaber. That's my problem. That's the default of my interpretation. Yeah, that's what that happens. Sometimes people have planned against the Mechaber in many places that, he, because it's an incredibly overwhelming and all-encompassing work, they didn't, doesn't always stim, doesn't always fit. From other evidence of Chai, even from one siman to another, one siman to another. It happens sometimes. The Kash is asked against the Mechaber again and again and again. They're trying to make a hakel, bakel, nikel together. Sometimes you find contradictions. So this is a typical case in which one might ask a question. Anyway, don't go back over here. The Rambam is right, which is the Surah Biyah, and he was reminded of this. In Terekhov, Aleph, 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 as follows. Hamachabek achas min ha'arayot she'ein libo shel adam lo kfar alayhem. The person hugs a relative that there's no yetzer hara for her. O she'noshak li'achas mehen. or he kissed one of them. Pigon, for example. Atoso Hagdola. What do you mean, Atoso Hagdola? Big sister? Older sister?
Is
older 12 years old?
Yes.
Atos Imo. And his mother's sister. There's a lot of it. I'm just saying. Atos Imo. His mother's sister. The Chayote, go ahead. Atal Pisha Ancient Tava Malohanoa Klav. There's no lust, there's no pleasure. Hareza, he has three phrases. What is it? Vitva, what is it? Hareza what? One, Laguna Vyoser. Exceedingly disgusting. Madava Isru, it's prohibited. Umaisa Tipshinu. And it's the act of stupid people. Shane Craven, the Erva Cloud, they dole of Encana puts me aim the Vnova Ablabito. That's okay. Kiss your mother, that's okay. But your sister is not. But what are these three expressions for? Three separate expressions. The Laguna Vyoser, Dover Osir, and my subscription. So my interpretation always was that it's not really us. Because if it's really us, in the full sense of the word, no need to say Laguna, no need to say Tipshin, just say it's us. God doesn't say anywhere, a person who's Makaral Shabbat is Tipshin, is Laguna, he tells you a Chayav Shekila, that's the end. I mean, so what are you saying over here, when you're using some expression? I believe the Bach says so, it's Tipshin Chakal. So I'm wondering, maybe the Rashi over here too, maybe, although I have no proof for it, if you want to reconcile the Rashi and Subasai and Beis in the second and the first guy, with his version of this first child, which he has in the Chumash, if we would desire to reconcile, which we don't have to necessarily do, then perhaps us doesn't really mean us. Or we could suggest, perhaps. I want to say clearly, we're saying perhaps. We're not possibly shiloh today. We have to come back tomorrow, but then Tuesday and then Wednesday. But if it's a single day, you sure cannot say anything in my name. Okay, you miss a day, you can miss everything.
But
yeah?
But the Rambam said, Dasmosha only by marrying
women? Doesn't say. Of course, the context of Dasmosha, by definition, is not losing. It's about losing its silver. If you're stealing, you can't lose its silver.
Right.
Okay, so of course, there's that context. Okay, Rabbo, so we'll have to stop here. We have to march. So,